Stand as still as possible and raise your arms above your head. This is to provide optimal time transport and is absolutely necessary. Prepare for nanobot transfusion. Now departing.
As you can probably tell by the thick forest surrounding us, we have gone a long way back.
Welcome to Ballston. The current year is 14,122 BCE.
Yes, hi folks. My name is Rick Valance, and I'll be your tour guide as we take a look around this time period. I'm joined by the Quantum Tours Artificial Intelligence Program, who will fill in some details as we go.
I am also regulating the quantum position of every atom in your body.
Yeah, try not to sneeze. Anyway, walk straight ahead to the north. If you were back in the 21st century, you would be walking away from Fairfax Avenue. Take a look at the trees as we go. They're rather different than the plant life in your native time.
The glaciers are starting to recede, but because it's gotten warmer, but it's still been very cool. And the forests here are much more like, say, New York, northern New York or Canada. You would have had more birch trees, more hemlocks.
Okay, so this is Mary Klein. We brought her along to help us understand what we're seeing here in the distant past. Mary actually works in Ballston back in the 21st century. She's the director of a group called NatureServe. But we also wanted to talk to Mary because she happens to know a whole lot about the region's environment, even thousands and thousands of years ago.
There would have been a lot of water. The runoff from the glaciers into the rivers probably would have made them siltier and cold.
It actually makes some kind of sense that someone who works so hard protecting the environment would want to see what it was like before humanity settled in and mucked it all up.
For me, it would be really amazing to be in this part of the world at the end of the last ice age and see what was here at that time. Around here it would have been mostly forest. Towards the Chesapeake you would have had more fields and open areas. Towards the mountains you would have had more dense forested areas.
So you should be coming up on an entrance into the forest on your left. Go on in and turn left again onto a narrow path winding through the woods. Probably used by animals to cut through this brush.
Please walk along the path. Do not move too quickly. You don't want to attract any predators, do you?
Oh, cool it, computer. We're not in any danger here. What's the worst we could run into? Some of those miniature horse things?
That was the period when we had the really big megafauna, right? The saber-toothed tigers and giant sloths and all those sort of incredible creatures that didn't last that long after people came to the continent.
Okay, so if you're walking along the path, you should be coming to a bit of a clearing. Keep walking and go across the clearing to that sheltered overhang. Lots of vines growing over it, some nice rocks to sit on. That's the one, right over there. Keep going.
Watch your step.
Yes, take a look at this terrain. The ground is torn up, kind of muddy and silty. Just imagine, a few centuries ago, this entire area was covered by glaciers.
Please, find a seat in the alcove.
Well, there are certainly a lot of birds here in the late Pleistocene, but there are some other critters that might be a little more exciting.
Be advised, the creature is agitated by movement. Sit still as it approaches to avoid any unfortunate incidents.
We haven't had any accidents on a tour in over a year. Though it was on the Ice Age tour, so technically that accident should be happening about next Tuesday.
In the Pleistocene era, there are no Tuesdays.
Still, it's a shame about the Peterson family. We'll never get to see another Smilodon. They are so cool. Oh, yeah, giant ground sloths are pretty cool too.
The Megalonyx is actually not the largest ancestor of the modern sloth.
The sloths in the past were very diversified, finally culminating in these gigantic things. I think Megalonyx probably was 8 to 10 feet tall on its hind legs, and Aramotherium and Megatherium. These were giant sloths that reached 18 feet at the shoulder.
That's Dr. Ken Rose, a paleontologist from Johns Hopkins University.
These were large, what we call ground sloths, so they're actually related to some of the living sloths. They probably walked around on all fours with their hands wrapped under them to protect the claws, which were enormous. They're reconstructed to have stood on hind limbs that were extremely powerful, and then it would use these long forelimbs with giant claws to pull branches down and fruits and whatever else they ate, but they were vegetarians.
This Megalonyx is 10 feet tall, weighs 2,000 pounds.
The skull was approaching a meter.
And it's got those massive claws. And look, it's walking on two legs.
Sloths have been studied in this regard and are generally accepted to have been functionally bipedal when they needed to for feeding and maybe for protection. If an 18-foot tall giant sloth with claws, you know, a foot long, was fighting to save its young, it probably could do pretty well against a saber-toothed cat or any other predator. And there were rodents and armadillos and things that got to be the size of a Volkswagen Beetle. There were giant beavers, 8 feet long, that had incredibly huge teeth. The damage that present-day beavers can do, you can only imagine what these things did in the past.
And yet, none of these creatures survived the expansion of your human ancestors.
As it has been argued by some people that humans were directly responsible for their extinction, and other people say no, it was climate, and other people say it's probably a combination of all these factors. So, almost surely, people had something to do with it.
So here's the story. The first evidence of Megalonyx were a few bones discovered in a cave in West Virginia in the late 18th century by an American colonel named John Stewart.
I'm sure it was the first one that anybody recognized in this country.
And he sent them to the one guy who was so smart and worldly that he might know their origin.
Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, this was before he was president.
He was very interested in paleontology. Why exactly, I don't know, but he is said to have had, it's either a mastodon or a mammoth, I can't remember which, that was mounted and placed in the White House when he was president.
But Jefferson actually presented the bones to the American Philosophical Society in a paper describing a giant lion.
You know, as I say, he got a few fossils. Somebody must have sent them to him. I don't think he collected them, but there was a claw, a huge claw, maybe 6 or 8 inches long, which is what he called the Megalonyx, which means literally giant claw. And because it looked like the claw of a lion or something, he naturally assumed that that's what it was.
But get this. Jefferson thought that these giant lions were still alive. Evolution was a new theory, and Jefferson wasn't buying it. He thought that if the bones were lying around, then the creature must be out there somewhere.
Probably thought it was still alive, yeah.
Maybe he also believed that the American wilderness was so completely exotic and ruthless that it would totally have giant lions roaming around. Anyway, he was so convinced of this that when Lewis and Clark set out on their expedition in 1804, when Jefferson was president, he asked them to keep an eye out for Megalonyx during their travels. He hoped that its discovery would back up his notion of the completeness of nature, or the idea that animals didn't go extinct at all. Yeah, not one of the guy's best ideas, but until fossils like Megalonyx started turning up, it was what most people believed.
And so that was the beginning of people starting to think about something more than just the Great Flood having extinguished all these animals.
A French biologist named Anselme Gaétan kept Jefferson's name for the creature and even added to it, calling the species Megalonyx jeffersoni.
I believe the Megalonyx jeffersoni is looking this way.
Oh, quick, spin up the quantum bearings and let's get out of here before we have another Peterson incident. That's all the time we have today, folks. I hope you enjoyed this look into the ancient world of Ballston.
Please brace four-dimensional transport in 3, 2, 1.